excelling. When Ella was talking about acceleration, God gonna have you outrun some stuff. Stuff that's been bogging you down, holding you back, blocking you. All of a sudden there's coming an acceleration. When Elijah called rain into the midst of a famine, he told Ahab, get the chariot and get to Jezreel. I hear a sound of abundance of rain. And Ahab went down from Mount Carmel. I've been to that spot. Went down the mountain from Mount Carmel and took off on the chariot to go to Jezreel, but the rain started. And Ahab had a good head start, but Elijah, the hand of the Lord came on him. And he came down, running down from the mountain, and overtook the chariot. Amen. Even though Ahab was being humble, he was still the enemy of Elijah. Hand of God came on Elijah. He outran his enemy and was waiting for him at the gate of Jezreel. There's something in that right there. You know, Ahab and Jezebel, they built the palace in Jezreel. Jezreel was the land delegated to the sons of Issachar. Jezreel is the land of revelation. So the wicked king and Jezebel built the palace there to control the revelation. They had prophets that ate from their table, carried their message, carried their spirit, infiltrated all of Israel. But here, God, tell somebody, God flipped the script. The prophet with the truth outran Ahab to the land of revelation and was there waiting for him when he got there. I'm telling you, a gate is going to open up. There's a gate, a floodgate that's going to open up to the people of God concerning your business, concerning your house, concerning your walk with God, where all of a sudden you're going to be wiser than the world, the children of the world. Hello, in walking with God. You're going to know how to. You're going to know when to. You're going to know where to. You're going to know who to. Amen. An acceleration. I'm telling you, a battle was won today. Amen. I said a battle was fought and won today, and not one bullet was shot. Not one bomb fell. Amen. Not one torpedo was launched in the natural realm. But oh, in the spirit, there were some fireworks here. Hallelujah. There was smoke. There were bombs exploding. There were enemies being defeated. There were armies that were running away. Simply because God's people chose to accelerate their praise. The concept of a microwave, when you take ice, the molecules in ice are slowed down. When God created, what he created, he surrounded it. You've heard this study. He surrounded his creation with ice. Because ice, you know, you put a fish on ice for a year, it's going to be the same a year later. He moved. He moved his fin. He ain't blinked the eye. They don't blink, but he ain't done nothing. He's on ice. That's the closest you can get to something being eternal. It ain't changing. You take ice and put it in a microwave and turn it up. You've seen this demonstration before, and turn it up on a higher frequency. You can leave it in there for a moment and it come out, it'll still be ice. It melted a little bit. But when you accelerate, instead of putting it on a minute, put it on 5 minutes. And leave the ice in the microwave for 5 minutes. For you know it, you'll hear whatever container you put it in, it'll be shaken. Why? Because the water will be boiling. You change the chemistry. You change the structure of what that was before it went into your microwave. When you bring it out, you better get you a mitt or something to carry it out, because it's going to be real hot. It didn't go in hot, but it came out hot. That's what the frequency of praise will do. God didn't make us rocket scientists. Sometimes you don't know what to do. Sometimes you don't know what to say. Sometimes you don't know who to call. Sometimes it seems like nobody can help you. Let me tell you what will help you. When you open your mouth and you start to give God praise. I said when you start to give God praise, it'll go beyond and around your mind into the spirit realm. Yes, it will. I said it'll go around what you don't know. You don't have the answer? It's probably found in your praise. After you praise, then you'll know. We're going to talk a bit about the final grace, but I want to lay foundation, as we did in our first service, concerning what I've titled atmospheric dimensions. Now, I gave a definition. Let me pull it back up. A definition this morning, a Merriam-Webster's definition of atmosphere. And let me see here. The Merriam-Webster dictionary says, an atmosphere is the whole mass of air that surrounds the earth. Now keep in mind the word air. The whole mass of air that surrounds the earth. The air in a particular place or area. The atmosphere. The whole mass of air surrounding the earth, the air of a locality. The air of a locality. It also means a surrounding influence or environment. Atmosphere. For example, an atmosphere of hostility. Or, like we experienced just moments ago, an atmosphere of joy, an atmosphere of praise. Now, Mark, somebody say, it's the air.
It's the air.
Say it again, it's the air.
It's the air.
It's the overall aesthetic effect of a work or art, and I'm just kind of bouncing around these definitions. Synonyms of the word atmosphere, and you can look this up in a Merriam-Webster dictionary. You'll find this, and I didn't read all the definition, but these are what I want to highlight. Synonyms of the word atmosphere, number one is air, A-I-R. Ambience, aroma, aura, climate, flavor, halo, karma, mood, nimbus, note, odor, patina, smell, temper. And the final one, and again, you can find this in this dictionary, is the word vibration. An atmosphere contains vibrations. But I want to highlight an atmosphere is the air, the whole mass of air that surrounds the earth. Now, when we talk about air, in 2 Timothy 3, and you don't have to turn there, but in 2 Timothy, no, it's not chapter 3, it's 2 Timothy, but the word talks about all scripture is given by inspiration of God. All right? All scripture. Somebody say all scripture. Is given by inspiration. The word inspiration there means it's God-breathed. It's God-breathed. All scripture. Now, when God created the man, he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. We've studied this. You cannot talk without inhaling and exhaling. Try talking while you inhale. You unless you just something about you, you know. You're not from here. My point. A part of you, every time you speak, a part of you is released. You breathe. And you breathe, you speak words. A part of you is released. That's why at home, if all you have at home is strife or argument, or if you're always contending or speaking negatively, that's why the atmosphere is the way that it is. That's why you can't sleep at night. Tell somebody, that's why. Or if there's the law of kindness that governs the husband and the wife or the family or the household, then an atmosphere is created. Because an atmosphere is the air. And when we speak, we're releasing air. Words are inspired or God breathed. Or they can be demonic and you're breathing them out. And so you're creating an atmosphere. Amen. Now, we've been given the mandate, especially as the church, we've been given a mandate to subdue. We talked about it. The executive order is to subdue. And I gave that definition before. I'll give it quickly again. It's the word, the Hebrew word, kabash. And it means to tread down, to conquer, subjugate, to violate, to bring into bondage, to force, to keep under, to subdue, to bring into subjection. God spoke that into us before he formed us. Thank you for listening. To order today's message or for more information about our church, contact us at 772-465-0036 or toll free at 1-877-TR-BANKS. Our service times are Sundays, 8:30 a.m., and 11 o'clock a.m. Join us in our midweek service Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m.
Crucified just for